Amateur Radio Today for the 19th of June 2026 in 5, 4, 3. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are listening to us. This is Amateur Radio Station ZS6SRL with the program Amateur Radio Today. Amateur Radio Today is produced and presented by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa, and can first be heard on a Sunday morning at 8 hours UTC, 10 hours Central African Time, on 7115 kHz in the 40-meter band, a transmission coming to you from Kimberley, about the center of South Africa. You can also hear the program on many repeaters, both on 2 and 70 centimeters throughout the country. There are many other relays throughout the week. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenendaal, ZR6 Alpha Kilo Victor, and I live in the capital city of South Africa, Pretoria, where today it seems to be spring is knocking at the door, well, at least during the day. We start our program today with the SRL News Bulletin, and for that we cross to the Eastern Cape, to a city, Gqeberha, where Roger Norton is, or Rory Norton, I should say, is standing by with the bulletin. First, the news headlines.
In the news today, the ZS2 QSO party this afternoon. AMSAT SA Space Symposium features how to set up your personal space weather station. And have you heard of a leaky feeder? Stay tuned for more information on these and other interesting news items. We begin the bulletin with news of three silent keys. It is with deep regret that we announce that the keys of George Oosthuizen, ZS1 Golf Juliet Oscar, Charles Grimsdale, ZS4 Charlie Lima Golf, and Henny LaRue, ZS1 Lima Romeo, have gone silent. George, ZS1 GJO of Mariesburg, passed away on Saturday morning, the 11th of July. Charles, ZS4 Charlie Lima Golf of Bloemfontein, passed away on Tuesday morning, the 14th of July. And Henny, ZS1 Lima Romeo, passed away on Friday, the 17th of July. We extend our sincere condolences to their families and friends. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. The ZS2 QSO party this afternoon. The Port Elizabeth Amateur Radio Society invites you to participate in the ZS2 QSO party this afternoon. This is a fun activity to promote contacts between radio amateurs in the Eastern Cape and those in Southern African countries. The aim for stations outside of ZS2 is to work as many ZS2 stations as possible. The contest runs from 14 to 15 hours UTC, with phone and CW on the 40-meter band. The exchange is an RS or RST report and provincial or country abbreviation. Submit your log sheet by 21 hours 59 UTC on Friday, the 24th of July, by email to contest@peham.co.za. SARL membership invoices. The SARL financial year runs from 1 July to 30 June of the following year. You have from the 1st of July until the 30th of September to pay your membership fees, either in one payment or after arrangement with the office over 3 months. Please note, there is no pensioner membership category. According to Rule 1.5.3 of the SARL, there is a senior membership. The rule states that he or she shall be a licensed radio amateur and be over the age of 65. And important, Rule 1.5.3.1 states that the onus is on such a member to notify the league that he or she is over the age of 65. You do not automatically become a senior member when you turn 65. BACAR 14 Mission Skybridge is planned for launch on the 17th of October. This year, the focus will be on testing airborne amateur radio technologies that may assist SARL Hamnet during disaster response and search and rescue operations. The mission will test Meshtastic on two frequencies, LoRa APRS, LoRa point-to-point links, 2-meter APRS, SSTV imaging, and cross-band repeater capability. We would like to invite clubs, radio amateurs, and experimenters to submit payload proposals for consideration. Please send your payload ideas to proposals by email to Christo, ZR6 Juliet Lima Kilo. His email, christocrick461@gmail.com. Let us use BACAR 14 to learn, experiment, and build practical emergency communication capability from the sky. The IARU Region 1 General Conference. The IARU Region 1 General Conference will be held from the 18th to the 24th of September at the Park Hotel, Schönbrunn in Vienna, Austria. The Austrian Society, OVSV, are the hosts, and the Society is celebrating its centenary in 2026. The conference papers have been made available on the conference website, https://conf.iaru-r1.org/documents/, and via the link on mysarl.org.za under special interest groups. The papers are divided into the conference committees, C2, Credentials and Finance Committee, C3, General Administrative and Organizational Committee, C4, HF Committee, C5, VHF Plus Committee, C7, EMC Committee, and C8, Youth Committee. You are welcome to download the documents and go through them. Please send your comments and suggestions to secretary@sarl.org.za. A brief update on South Africa's Pico balloons. ZS6SRC-37 on channel 104 on 10 meters is presently just west of Southern Africa and is about to complete its second lap of the Earth. It has set a blistering pace with speeds mostly above 200 kilometers an hour and hitting 300 kilometers an hour occasionally. In the past week, another 3 Pico balloons were launched from Mauritius by Jean-Marc, 3 Bravo 8 Delta Uniform, and his team. ZS6SRC-84 on channel 465 on 20 meters is already over Peru, South America, on its maiden first circumnavigation of the Earth. This after 5 days and 22,000 kilometers. ZS6SRC-85 on channel 532 on 20 meters, and ZS6ZU-11 on channel 424 on 20 meters are both presently over the mid-Indian Ocean, well on their way to Australia. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. AMSAT SA Space Symposium features how to set up your personal space weather station. Space weather originates from the Sun, a star that appears calm and steady from Earth, but is a dynamic, turbulent, and sometimes violent object. The Sun continuously releases energy, radiation, and streams of charged particles into space. Most of the time, the Earth's magnetic field protects us from these solar emissions. But when solar activity becomes particularly intense, the effects can ripple through our technological civilization in surprising and sometimes dangerous ways. In the modern world, where electricity powers nearly every aspect of society, understanding space weather has become more important than ever. The same star that makes life possible on Earth can also pose risks to the infrastructure upon which billions of people depend. Register now for the symposium, which will be held virtually on the AMSAT SA WebEx platform on Saturday, the 1st of August. Registration is free for members of IARU and AMSAT member societies. For non-members, there is a small registration fee. The keynote presentation will be presented by Gwyn Griffiths, Gulf Whiskey 3 Zulu India Lima, a member of the HamSci community. His paper is entitled The HamSci Personal Space Weather Station, Development, Deployment, and Data. The HamSci Personal Space Weather Station, or PSWS, is a modular system comprising one or more of the four components. HamSci Personal Space Weather Station HF Receiver, or HFRX, HamSci Ground Magnetometer, or GMAG, HamSci VLF Whistler Catcher, VLF-WC, and the Tern Island System, Whisper Sond 8-band Whisper/FST4W transmitter, also known as WS8. After a brief introduction to the technical aspects of each component and their development, the talk will describe examples of current deployments at home and remote stations. Learn how to access PSWS data and find out what it shows about space weather rounds off the presentation. Christo Krick, ZR6 Lima Juliet Kilo, will share new development on the BACAR project that the Secunda Amateur Radio Club will launch on the 17th of October this year. He will talk about BACAR 14, Mission Skybridge, testing airborne amateur radio technologies for disaster response, and search and rescue communications. BACAR 14, Mission Skybridge, will explore how high-altitude balloon payloads can act as temporary communication platforms during disasters and SAR operations. The mission will test a mix of amateur radio and digital technologies, including mesh-tastic on two frequencies, LoRa APRS, LoRa point-to-point links, 2-meter APRS, SSTV imaging, and cross-band repeater capability. The goal is to understand how low-cost, recoverable airborne systems can extend coverage, support SARL HamNet field teams, and provide practical communication lessons for future emergency deployments. Burns Fisher, Whiskey Bravo 1 Fox, AMSAT engineer for flight software, will discuss AMSAT progress on three different satellites to be launched in the next few years. Stuart Clark, ZR1 Whiskey Tango, will present a paper describing typical amateur radio pico balloons capable of completing multiple circumnavigations of the Earth while operating at near space altitudes and transmitting a variety of telemetry data. Furthermore, by using the Whisper or Weak Signal Propagation Reporter protocol, originally developed by Joe Taylor, Kilo 1 Juliet Tango, virtually any form of telemetry can be transmitted without modification to the protocol itself. The use of Whisper provides access to a global network of tens of thousands of monitoring stations operated by amateur radio enthusiasts who collectively and often unknowingly contribute to the reception and recording of the transmitted data. Visit www.amsatsa.org.za for details on the other presentations as well as the registration link. Alberton Voortrekkers and ZS95 Victor Tango Sierra. In a year in which the Voortrekker movement celebrates its 95th anniversary, the Voortrekkers of Alberton will use ZS95 Victor Tango Sierra from the historic Mayor's Plas in Alberton between 09:30 and 11 hours Central African time on Saturday, the 25th of July. Activity will be on 40 meters. The specific frequency will depend on the availability of the frequency. The call sign that will be used is the Voortrekkers Festival call sign, ZS95VTS, which is also an educational call sign. Members of the AARIG, ZR6TDK, will also assist during the transmissions. During the broadcast, youth members will complete a relay ride of 95 kilometers by bicycle. All amateurs are invited to make a QSO with the station. This is a great opportunity to market amateur radio amongst the youth. For further information, contact Gerard, ZS6 Charlie Romeo Sierra. His email, ZS6CRS@gmail.com. Have you heard of a leaky feeder? Well, now is your chance to find out all about leaky feeders and how they facilitate underground communications during the July Power Hour Tech Talk with our special guest Henry, ZS6 India India X-Ray. On Wednesday evening, the 29th of July, Henry will be sharing his extensive knowledge on underground radio communications, a difficult and challenging environment for radio. Can you use your handy-talkie underground? What frequencies and radios do they use underground? What are the challenges and how have they solved these? Please diarize to join the Power Hour Tech Talk on Wednesday evening, the 29th of July at 19 hours Central African time on Zoom or interconnected repeater to experience and share the knowledge and perhaps even obtain some tips on how to get your signal working from your basement. The Power Hour Tech Talk Zoom details are as follows. The meeting ID is 853-0134-3276. Meeting ID again, 853 0134-3276, the passcode 304951. Again, 304951. Announcing the release of the IARU Ethics and Operating Procedures for the Radio Amateur, 4th edition. We are pleased to announce the official release of the Ethics and Operating Procedures for the Radio Amateur, 4th edition. This revision incorporates the latest developments and best practices in the field of amateur radio. We believe these updates are essential to upholding the high standards of amateur radio and ensuring our community remains at the forefront of technological innovation and ethical operating practices. The document replaces IARU Region 1 Edition 3 that came out in June 2010. The document is available in English, and you'll find the URL in the printed version of today's bulletin. The SARL HF phone, digital and CW contests. The South African Radio League's premier contests, the August HF phone, digital and CW contests, are almost upon us. The aim of the three SARL HF contests is for participants to contact as many amateurs in Southern Africa as possible on the 20, 40 and 80 meter amateur bands. The SARL HF phone contest runs from 14 to 17 hours UTC on Sunday, the 2nd of August. The SARL HF digital contest runs from 13 to 16 hours UTC on Sunday, the 9th of August. And the SARL HF CW contest runs from 14 to 17 hours UTC on Sunday, the 23rd of August. Propagation report. Hannes Kutsia, ZS6 Bravo Zulu Papa, reports that solar activity is expected to be at low levels during the week. There are currently four sunspot regions with simple magnetic configurations visible. There is a moderate probability for C and a low probability for M-class solar flares. If you want to do your own frequency predictions, the expected effective sunspot number for the week will be around 64. The 30 to 15 meter bands may, especially in the late afternoon, provide some good DX. Please visit the website spaceweather.sansa.org.za for further information. Finally, a diary of some upcoming events. Today, the ZS2 QSO party, as well as the second leg of the 2026 YOTA contest. 20 July, International Moon Day. 21 July, provincial schools open. 25 July, the Cape Town Amateur Radio Centre's AGM and the SARL Saturday 40 Meter Club Contest. 25 and 26 July, the Islands on the Air Contest. 26 July, the ZS1 QSO Party. 1 August, the AMSAT SA Space Symposium, as well as the ZS6 PTA Flea Market. 2 August, the SARL HF Phone Contest. 2 and 3 August, the ZS9 YOTA from the African Rover Moot. To conclude our bulletin, a recap of our main news story. The Port Elizabeth Amateur Radio Society invites you to participate in the ZS2 QSO party this afternoon. The aim is for stations outside ZS2 to work as many ZS2 stations as possible. The contest runs from 14 to 15 hours UTC with phone and CW on the 40 meter band. This concludes our bulletin for this morning. Clubs and individuals are invited to submit news items of interest to radio amateurs and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans where possible by uploading the news items to mysarl.org.za/news-inbox/, or you can send it by email to news@sarl.org.za by no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. The weekly radio program, Amateur Radio Today, can be heard every Sunday morning at 10 hours Central African Time. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and is relayed on 7115 kHz lower sideband by Louis, ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Bloemfontein, listeners can tune in on the 145.7625 MHz repeater at 8 hours 15 and again at 10 hours Central African Time. In Cape Town, the broadcast can be heard at 10:30 Central African Time on the 145.700 MHz repeater with an Echolink relay to ZS1 Delta Charlie Charlie-R by Dave, ZS1 DFR, a rebroadcast by Andy, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee, can be heard on Monday evenings at 19 hours 30 Central African Time on 3620 kHz. Signal reports, comments, and suggestions are always welcome. Please send these by email to artoday@sarl.org.za. You have listened to a news bulletin which was written by Andy, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee, proofread by Paul, ZS1 Sierra, and read by Rory, ZS2 Bravo Lima. From the news team, best wishes for the week ahead. Please note that the weekly bulletin of the Port Elizabeth Amateur Radio Society takes place every Monday evening at 8 p.m. local time. At just before 7 p.m. there will be a repeat of Sunday's Amateur Radio Today, and at 6:30 p.m. there will be a repeat of the SARL News Bulletin in Afrikaans. Thanks for listening.
Listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. Phew. That was a lengthy SRL news bulletin of lots and lots of information. Thanks very much, Rory. We now cross to the United States for a brief international news bulletin. Here is Newsline.
Here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us to Washington, D.C., where the Federal Communications Commission has cleared the way for the launch of a controversial satellite carrying a giant mirror that will reflect sunlight, illuminating the darkest regions of the Earth. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us the details.
The FCC has approved the right of a startup company, Reflect Orbital, to use radio frequencies in the S, X, and UHF bands to launch and communicate with its low Earth orbit satellite, the Arandel 1, which it has scheduled for launch later this year. The satellite's mission is to capture and reflect sunlight into darker regions of the Earth via a giant 60-foot reflector from its orbit 600 to 650 kilometers above the planet. The company intends to test this satellite to be the first of up to 50,000 such orbiting mirrors. Reflect Orbital believes the satellite's beam, which would be 5 kilometers or 3 miles wide on the ground, could be harnessed to power solar farms or illuminate disaster areas where rescue workers toil late into the night. Agency approval was granted on the 9th of July, despite vocal oppositions about light pollution from opponents such as the American Astronomical Society. A number of environmental groups have observed how nocturnal species' lives can be disrupted and perhaps imperiled by artificial light during the night. According to various media reports, opposition has been overwhelming among more than 1,800 public comments the FCC received. According to the company's account on LinkedIn, Reflect Orbital received a $1.2 million Small Business Innovation Research Grant from the Department of Defense through the Air Force, which sees promise having additional sunlight transform military operations. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
In many places, it is wildfire season. In Utah, an amateur radio operator has helped his region prepare for fire season by helping to install a repeater that is accessible to many residents in the community. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, tells us more.
Remembering images from a documentary he had seen about California's devastating Camp Fire in 2018, Dane Raff, KM7EKQ, was certain that his own home region in Summit County, Utah, needed something more robust than spotty cell service to ensure its well-being during fire season. Working with volunteers, he relocated and repurposed an old unused TV tower in the backyard of one of his neighbors and set about establishing a general mobile radio service repeater where anyone properly licensed can check in routinely and, more importantly, in emergencies. Unlike amateur radio licenses, GMRS licenses do not require an exam and cover an entire household for $35. It took 2 months to get the repeater up and running. Roll call is held on the first Tuesday of every month on 462.650 MHz. The tower's previous owner, Alicia O'Mara, told KPCW-TV News that she believed the tower was a gift with an important purpose. She said, quote, "I can't think of a better reason to donate and have communications access for all the community here." End quote. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Emerging technology impact on the next generation of amateur radio satellites will be among the subjects explored at the AMSAT South Africa Space Symposium. Attendees will learn the outcome of proposals that were made for new geostationary amateur satellites and will hear about ground-based systems linking low Earth orbit and geostationary satellites. Technology is driving this symposium in yet another way. The four-hour event, which is set for Saturday, the 1st of August, will take place online, enabling more people to attend without incurring costly travel fees. Guests who belong to IARU member societies are admitted free. There's a small fee for non-members. The symposium theme is the new amateur radio world in space. For details, visit or to register, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
The worldwide event known as Bunkerfest is almost here. It's not just ham radio. It's a history lesson for hams in each nation involved, as we hear from Dave Lee, M9TLB.
Organizers are calling the event 3 days of history over ham radio. It's the annual Bunkers on the Air Bunker Fest, bringing hams and shortwave listeners closer to the national defense heritage of 23 nations around the world. Hams will be activating bunkers from 0100 UTC on the 24th of July through to 2359 on the 26th of July in the hopes of calling attention to fortifications and bunkers that have been used in more troubled times throughout various nations' history. Much of the operation will be done QRP. To encourage growth of the activity in new countries, radio operators will be encouraged to call CQ from bunker sites in countries that may not have joined the WW BOTA program yet. Worldwide BOTA's continued growth enabled it to add the United States amongst its participating countries earlier this year. Bunkerfest is also an educational opportunity for everyone. As noted on the event website, quote, "Every activation is an act of historical engagement. We invite you to join us and to know a little about the bunker you visit, not just its reference number." End quote. There are awards and other certificates of recognition, but this is not a contest. As always, the program urges caution. Some bunker sites may still be deemed sensitive areas, so activators are encouraged to visit the BOTA website in each of their participating countries to determine the size of the activation zone in which permitted activations can occur without having to infringe on the bunker itself. For more details about Bunkerfest or to register and see the rules, visit the two websites listed in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Dave Lee, M9TLB.
You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL. We now go to Cape Town for our weekly Hamnet report. Here is Dave Rees, ZS1 DFR.
Newsreel.com.au says that disaster communications and response in far north Queensland have been boosted by a doubling of satellite communication capabilities and the acquisition of an industrial drone. The State Emergency Service has taken possession of 3 new airbridge resilient network infrastructure communications trailers and a DJI Flycart 100 drone, one of the first of its kind available to emergency services in Australia. Queensland Police Deputy Commissioner for Disaster and Emergency Management, Chris Stream, said the ARNI trailers provided reliable satellite communication access to isolated communities during emergencies. Deputy Commissioner Stream said the self-contained, self-powered units feature high-capacity battery storage, advanced satellite equipment, and self-managed Wi-Fi systems, ensuring critical communication links remained operational when traditional networks were unavailable. He said the 3 new trailers were in addition to 2 already deployed to the region in November last year. The far north is no stranger to severe weather and the communication impacts it brings, Deputy Commissioner Stream said. The value of the ARNI trailers has been demonstrated during the past higher risk weather season, particularly during tropical cyclones Koji and Narelle. The trailers were able to be deployed to remote communities of Cooktown and Woodjoll Woodjoll to support multiple activations. The State Emergency Service Far Northern Regional Director, Wayne Coots, said the Flycart 100 drone was a state-of-the-art heavy-duty industrial drone and complete with a winch, would be used for deliveries during disasters. "We will now be able to fly more supplies into communities isolated during disasters," Regional Director Coots said. "Whether it's food, water, equipment or other supplies, this is a game changer for disaster response in Queensland. The Flycart and ARNI units are a major boost in our ability to keep Queenslanders safe during some of their toughest times." And thank you to newsreel.com.au for that report. Now, related to the World Cup in America, InsideTowers.com reports that the FCC played a critical role in ensuring the communications that support public safety, broadcasting, and the fan experience remained reliable throughout the 2026 FIFA World Cup. As the agency that oversees the national's wireless networks, the Commission conducted advanced planning, testing, and coordination activities with stakeholders across the federal government, including law enforcement officials in all 11 host cities, to make sure that on-site public safety communications were seamless and reliable. And that's according to FCC Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau Chief Zenji Nakazawa and also Enforcement Bureau Chief Patrick Weber. The agency purchased sensors that were used to monitor and geolocate sources of wireless interference. If anyone or anything tampered with public safety communications in or around any World Cup matches, the Commission would know about it and work to fix it quickly, they said in a blog. Nakazawa and Weber have seen these tools make a difference during FCC support for the Super Bowls. 3 days before kickoff in 2023, an illegal transmission disrupted the radio communications of police and fire officials across a 400-square-mile area, they said. Local officials said it once took over a month to fix a similar problem. The FCC's detection equipment identified and resolved this 2023 problem in 2 hours. At another Super Bowl, the FCC team identified public safety dead spots inadvertently caused by broadcasting equipment used during the halftime show and helped to develop a workaround. Fans expect strong, reliable wireless service no matter how crowded the stadium gets. World Cup-sized crowds will put our networks to the ultimate test, they said. To make sure that fans can reliably use their devices when and where they want, the agency worked with industry to support high-capacity wireless and 5G connectivity in and around host venues. It also granted a number of temporary authorizations to allow for the substantially increased spectrum used for these events. The FCC also plays a role in mitigating risks associated with unauthorized drone operations at sporting events. The FAA, along with DHS and DOJ, instituted no drone zones over and around the arenas, Inside Towers reported. And thanks to Leslie Stimson of Inside Towers for that report. Now, daily.hamweekly.com reports that HamGPT, a new AI assistant created specifically for amateur radio operators, is now open to the public at hamgpt.co. Unlike a general-purpose chatbot, HamGPT is built around the real operating situation of each ham. It can take into account the operator's license class, country, grid square, radios, antennas, and operating history, and then combine that station profile with live propagation, space weather, DX activity, and current on-air conditions. Its main purpose is to answer one deceptively simple question: what can I do with my radio today? Amateur radio offers an enormous range of possibilities. There are local repeaters, HF, DX, satellites, digital modes, parks on the air, emergency communications, antenna building, contesting, and experimentation. For many newly licensed operators, however, the first experience is much less exciting. They pass the exam, buy a handy talkie or an entry-level rig, turn it on, hear static or silence, and do not know what to do next. And HamGPT was built to help with that exact moment. Many new hams do not leave the hobby because they lack information, said Rodrigo Vasquez, who's Alpha Kilo 6 Fox Papa, or Lima Uniform 6 Echo Romeo Victor, and creator of HamGPT. They leave because nobody tells them what actually to do with the radio in their hand. HamGPT is not trying to out-explain a general chatbot. It is trying to be the reason someone gets on the air instead of putting the radio back in the box. In amateur radio, an experienced operator who helps others learn the hobby is traditionally known as an Elmer. HamNet GPT is designed to work like a personal digital Elmer that already knows the operator's station. Users can save their license class, location, exact radio model, and antennas. HamGPT reuses that information across conversations, so the operator does not need to explain the same setup every time. That context changes the quality of the answer. For example, HamGPT can help 1. Identify repeaters that may realistically be worked with a particular handy talkie or mobile rig. 2. Suggest HF bands based on live conditions and the antennas installed at the station. 3. Recommend satellite passes that fit the operator's equipment. 4. Find nearby POCs on the air POCs to activate. 5. Explain how to configure a specific rig for FT8, Winlink, APRS, or satellite work. And 6. Provide antenna dimensions and construction guidance for the operator's target band and available space. And this is what separates HamGPT from a generic ham radio question and answer system. The goal is not merely to answer what is a repeater or what is an inverted V. The goal is to answer what should I try with my station right now. And that's very enterprising. Rodrigo's chatbot is to be congratulated. This is Dave Reese, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo, hoping that HamGPT will never be able to pick up my mic and call CQ for me, rendering me unnecessary at my station, and reporting for HamNet in South Africa.
That was ZS1 DFR. Well, Dave, you don't need to worry. All those systems have no feelings like you put into your contribution. This is Amateur Radio Today on ZS6 SRI. We now cross to Durban for the weekly MSAT SA Satellite Report.
SpaceX launches Transporter 17 amid concerns about the future. SpaceX launched the latest of its Transporter series of rideshare missions on July the 7th as an industry concerns increase about the program's future. A Falcon 9 lifted off from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California on the Transporter 17 mission to Sun Synchronous Orbit. The mission carried 81 payloads according to SpaceX, including Marmotsat, a 3U CubeSat designed and built by the students at the University of Victoria in Canada, Mariner, a CubeSat built by the Technical University of Kostsi, Slovakia, and Hades E2, a 1.5P pocket cube from AMSAT-EA, COSTSCO, a 1-year CUBE satellite from Brno University of Technology in Czechoslovakia, and MAVERICK, 3-year CubeSat from the University of Southern California. Marmotsat carries a VHF Digipeter uplink and downlink on 145.875 MHz, a CW telemetry beacon on both 145.875 MHz and 29.410 MHz, and a DVB S2 digital video beacon and a linear frequency modulation sound downlink, both on 29.410 MHz in the 10-meter amateur satellite allocation. A separate telemetry tracking and command subsystem operates on 436.125 MHz. Mariner serves as an experimental communication platform providing global ham operators with the active digital transponder and earth image capabilities. The transponder supports a GFSK AX25 G3RUH 9600 board communications. It also transmits Earth observation images utilizing the robust SSDV, which is a slow scan digital video protocol. It has a VHF downlink on 145.925 MHz for digital transponder and telemetry, as well as UHF downlink on 436.680 MHz for SSDV transmissions, the CW beacon and SatNOGS integration. Hades 2, also known as Uni-1B, was built in cooperation with the Universidad de Nebrija, and it carries an SDR-based FM and FSK repeater. It also broadcasts a Code 2 digital voice message and includes an educational guessing game where clues are hidden weekly in its telemetry. Frequency coordination is in progress, but AMSAT-EA has proposed a 145.925 MHz uplink for modes FM voice, no subtone, and FSK 200 bps, AFSK AX25 200 bps and 2400 bps. And the downlink frequency for voice mode, that's FM, CW, and FSK, is 436.888 MHz. MAVERICK carries special imaging experiments and has a 9K6 UHF downlink using Golay framing with GMSK on 437.575 MHz. Like other transporter missions, this launch carried a mix of new and returning customers, including those building out of or refreshing constellations. IceKey had 4 radar imaging satellites on the mission, while Spire had 10 of its Lima satellites on the launch. Axel Space, a Japanese Earth observation company, flew 7 of its GRUS-3 medium resolution imaging spacecraft on the mission. These and other companies have relied heavily on SpaceX rideshare missions for low-cost access to space on a regular schedule. However, there are growing concerns within the industry that SpaceX is winding down its program, at least using the Workhorse Falcon 9 rocket. In recent weeks, several partners and customers of those rideshare missions said SpaceX is not accepting transporter reservations beyond late 2028 or early 2029. They added the missions on the manifest until then are nearly full. That has led to companies like ExoLaunch and SEOPS, which have arranged launches on transporter missions to buy their own Falcon 9 rideshare launches. SpaceX has not commented on those claims, and its website for the Transporter 17 launch did not discuss any changes to the rideshare program. However, anxiety extends to the availability of the Falcon 9 itself. SpaceX officials said last year they were near the peak of Falcon 9 launch activity and expected the number of launches to start to decline as the company ramps up Starship, its fully reusable heavy lift vehicle. Now to some passes for today, Sunday the 19th of July, and all times in Central African time. The International Space Station, 1925 to 1935. SO-50 or Saudi Sat-1C, 1836 to 1849. And finally, Chapisa Sat, 1434 to 1446. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
Hey Dave, you're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL, and we're now going to explore the world above 30 megahertz, and to do that is Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.
There are now four Southern African Pico balloons in the air. ZS6 SRC-37, launched by the Secunda Radio Club, has already completed one circumnavigation of the Southern Hemisphere. The balloon has been racing along and is, at the time of writing this program, two-thirds of the way between South America and Africa. ZS6 SRC-84, a Mauritian Radio Club balloon, has taken a northeast trajectory and is currently over northern Brazil after crossing over Peru. The balloon is approximately 7 degrees south of the equator and currently travelling at a very slow pace. The Mauritian Radio Club has in the meantime launched another two balloons on 17 July. The first balloon, ZS6 SRC-85, with the 20-meter Whisper beacon on channel 532, this balloon is currently flying southeast over Western Australia in the direction of Adelaide. The balloon is also maintaining a steady altitude and a good speed of around 152 kilometers an hour. The second balloon, ZS6 Zulu Uniform 11, carrying a 20-meter Whisper beacon on channel 424, is on a similar trajectory as ZS6 SRC-85 over Western Australia. There are various propagation modes on VHF and UHF. We have already discussed tropospheric ducting in great depth. For the benefit of the new radio amateurs, I will be rebroadcasting some tutorials covering some of the other VHF and UHF propagation modes. These tutorials were originally written by the late Mike Bosch, ZS2 Foxtrot Mike, who was one of the most knowledgeable amateurs on VHF and UHF propagation. Mike was also inducted into the SARL Hall of Fame for his work on VHF and UHF. Mike wrote the tutorials, and I recorded and broadcast the tutorials on his behalf. The first propagation type is F2 layer propagation, similar to what we experience on the HF bands. Here the maximum usable frequency, or MUF, extends to the 6-meter band or even as high as the 4-meter band. This propagation type is limited to the lower VHF bands, namely 8-meter, 6-meter and 4-meter bands. The next propagation type we have is trans-equatorial propagation, or TEP. TEP openings can exist in the summer months during high sunspot activity around the equator, and allows for north-south paths across the equator. This allows for mainly 6-meter contacts between South Africa and Europe. It can also extend to the 2-meter band. We then get sporadic e-propagation, which occurs in the summer months when small clouds of electrons form in the e-layer. This propagation type can affect the 6-meter and 2-meter bands with multi-hop possibility, resulting in large distances, up to 8,000 kilometers on 6 meters and 4,000 kilometers on 2 meters. Then we have meteor scatter. The trails of ionization from meteors burning up in the atmosphere are used to reflect radio signals mainly on 2 meters. These reflections are mostly short-lived, so high-speed CW or digital modes, FSK441, are used to exploit this propagation mode. Distances of 1,000 kilometers to 2,000 kilometers can be obtained with a modest station. Meteor scatter can be used on the 6-meter and 70-centimeter bands as well. The reflections are longer on 6-meter, so SSB comms is also possible. Tropospheric scatter is caused when the paths of radio signals are altered by slight changes in the refractive index in the lower atmosphere caused by air turbulence, and small changes in temperature, humidity, and barometric pressure. The signal is scattered in random fashion, and this is the most common propagation type. Troposcatter signals are weak, and the quality of reception depends on the strength of the signal transmitted and the quality of the receiving equipment. Then we have lightning scatter, where the air around a lightning flash is ionized, and this causes scattering of the radio waves in various directions. Lastly, we have aircraft scatter, which is very successfully used locally. With aircraft scatter, the radio waves are reflected by an aircraft flying in the path between two stations. Aircraft scatter signals are mostly enhanced when they are reflected off the passing aircraft. In the next couple of weeks, we will delve deeper into the propagation modes mentioned and get a better understanding of what they are and how they work. All the links mentioned here are in the text version of the program, which is on the www.amsat.org.za website. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands? Or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobza@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 megahertz.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, it's most interesting. I had the pleasure and the privilege of having spent many, many hours with Mike Bosch on my visits to East London when we talked about VHF. And in fact, it was Mike's idea that we ran the VHF conference in East London together with an AGM. Must have been one of the first ones many, many years ago. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL. We're running fast out of time, so let's end the program with the HF report. Here is Dennis Green.
Good morning, here from Bloemfontein with this distribution of HF update. And we're firstly going to the Ivory Coast, where Freddy Foxtrot 5 Hotel Papa Echo will be active again as Tango Uniform 5 Mike Mike. This is between 16 and 22 July, and he will operate SSBM Digital on 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters with your QSL via the home call. Then to Rodrigues Island, Sebastian 3 Bravo 8 Hotel Romeo will be active. Holiday style is 3 Bravo 9 Hotel Romeo. From Rodrigues Island, IOTA Africa 017, between 22 and 28 July. And he will operate SSB on the HF bands with QSL via Logbook of the World. Then east to the South Cook Islands, where Steve, Zulu Lima 2 Kilo Echo, operating as Echo 5 1 Kilo Echo Echo, and Steve, Zulu Lima 4 Charlie Zulu, operating as Echo 5 1 Charlie Zulu Zulu, will be active again from Rarotonga, IOTA Oceana 013. And their operation is as follows: 22 July to 14 August. Echo 51 Kilo Echo Echo will be operating CW and some SSB. And then from 26 July to 6 August, Echo 51 Charlie Zulu Zulu will be operating SSB. Echo 5 1 Kilo Echo Echo is likely to concentrate on 40 and 30 meters unless propagation improves. They will not use the digital modes during their expedition. QSL for both call signs is via Italy Kilo 2 Delta Uniform Whiskey Direct, and the QSOs will be uploaded to Clublog and Logbook of the World. Willis Island is our next stop, where Sands Victor Kilo 4 Whiskey X-ray Whiskey has returned to Willis Island, Iota Oceana 007, and will be stationed at the Australian Bureau of Meteorology's Weather Monitoring Facility until late October or early November. After recently returning to the air, he expects to become increasingly active as Victor Kilo 9 Whiskey X-ray in the coming weeks. He operates SSB and digital on 40, 20, 15 and 10 meters with a vertical antenna, although he plans to add an inverted L for lower frequency operations soon, and the QSL is via Mike Zero Oscar X-ray Oscars OQRS. Then to Tuvalu, where Aki, Juliet Kilo 1, Juliet X-ray Zulu, will be active again as Tango 2 Juliet Kilo from Funafuti, Iota Oceana 015, from 30 July to 7 August, or maybe 14 August should his stay be extended. He will be active on 80 to 6 meters all day during the weekend, and after 17 hours local during the weekends. Weekdays rather. QSL is via Logbook of the World. Then on to Indonesia, where Team 7 Charlie 8 Charlie will be active from Gusung Tarajai Island, Iota Oceana 236, between 23 and 26 July. They will operate SSB, CW, R, TTY and Digital on 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 meters, and will also participate in the Iota contest. QSL Director Yankee Bravo 8 Hotel Zulu, and QSOs will be uploaded to Clublog and QRZ. Then on to Azerbaijan, where Yan Delta Lima 4 X-ray Tango will be active holiday style as 4 kilo stroke Delta Lima 4 X-ray Tango from Azerbaijan from 23 July to 8 August. He will operate SSB, CW and digital on 20 to 10 meters with QSL via Logbook of the World, Clublogs OQRS and QRZ. Russia, Vladimir, Uniform Alpha 3 Foxtrot X-ray Stroke 1. He is currently active from Shalim Island, Iota Europe 082 until 21 July. He operates low power SSB, CW and digital modes on 40 to 10 meters with QSL via Logbook of the World. Then the Arctic Legends Iota DX Vision team was active as Romeo India 1 Papa Charlie from Chai Chi Island, Iota Europe 160 on 13 and 14 July, and made 5,800 plus QSOs in about 30 hours. The log has been uploaded to Clublog with QSL via Mike Zero Oscar X-ray Oscars OQRS. Their next stop will be Novaya Zemlya, Europe 035, where they will be active as Romeo Tango 25 Alpha Alpha. Hopefully they will be there sometime around 19 July, and you can track their progress on https://share.garmin.com/uniform-alpha-9-kilo-delta-foxtrot. Then to Italy, where Team Italy Papa 1 X-ray will participate in the Iota contest from Gallinara Island, Europe 083. They will operate SSB and CW with two stations and QSLs via Clublog's OQRS or via Italy Uniform 1 Julia Charlie Zulu Direct or using the Vero. Austria, Oscar Echo 2, Yankee Oscar Tango Alpha, is the call sign to be used between 25 and 31 July during the Iota Summer Camp 2026 to be hosted by the Oostenrijkse Versuchssenderverband in Wagren. The event will bring together young radio amateurs from IARU Region 1 member societies as well as guest teams from Region 2 and 3, creating an opportunity to learn all about different nationalities and cultures, foster international friendships and goodwill, and learn new amateur radio skills. Then we cross the Atlantic to Trinidad and Tobago, where Ishmael 8 Papa 6 Papa Echo will be active as 9 Yankee 4 stroke 8 Papa 6 Papa Echo from Trinidad and Tobago between 25 July and 9 August. He plans to operate from several parks on the air references with QSL via Logbook at World, EQSL and QRZ, and then to the USA. Look for Kilo 5 Sierra Lima Stroke 4 to be active holiday style from Dauphin Island, North America 213, between 25 and 31 July. He will operate CW on 40 to 17 meters during his early mornings and evenings, and the QSL is via the home call. And that's it for this week. They're from Dennis, ZS4 Bravo Sierra, for Amateur Radio Today.
Thanks, Dennis. You've been listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZS6 SRL. Well, we're well over 65 minutes in the program now, so all I need to say is thank you for listening, and thanks to our contributors for all their great stories that they've submitted this week. And thanks to our relay stations who made it possible for you to listen. Go to www.mzsa.org.za if you want to download the program or listen to it again. Until next week, 73, have a great week, and hope the weather stays good.